Hey, explorers. Welcome to the PJ's Explore Show, an amazing journey to exploration.
So let me pose a thought-provoking question for you today, that how has the resilience of women throughout the history contributed to the evolution of democratic ideals in India? Hey guys, welcome back to the PJ's Explore Show, the place where we dive into intriguing conversations that matters. I hope that you had an amazing day so far. I am Priyanshi, your host, and I'm genuinely curious that how's everyone doing out there. Drop me a message on our social media platforms, and you can also shoot an email to me. I had loved to hear from you. Now, let's jump into today's topic. I think it's not just a topic. It's the very deep conversation between you and me, and that is on unveiling women's impact in democracy. It's a subject that is very close to my heart. And I believe it's very essential, especially in today's world, for us to explore and appreciate the incredible contribution that each woman makes into our society and to the democratic fabric of our society. So grab your favorite drink with me and settle in, and let's embark on this enlightening journey together. As we know, in today's world, democracy is most significant form of government, and democracy is a system that is rooted in inclusivity and individual rights, empower citizens to shape their nation's course through participation and representation. However, its resilience requires ongoing commitment to justice, equality, and rule of law. Underscoring the importance of active citizen engagement in preserving this dynamic and transformative governance model. While the concept of formal democracy as we understand in today's world was not present in ancient Vedic times, you know, there were instances of women in position of influence or who played a very significant roles in governance. As we move through history to more contemporary examples, I think there are the presence and influence of women in democratic system become more pronounced. So I just had some renowned spanning examples from ancient Vedic times to the present that these women played a very significant role in shaping our democracy in the world. Like, first we talk about the ancient Vedic period. I've heard about the Gargi, Vajnavi, and Maitreya. While not holding formal political positions, Gargi and Maitreya were prominent female figures, you know, in Vedic literature who participated in intellectual and philosophical discussions, reflecting the esteem in which women were held in certain spheres. Then if we talk about the medieval period, you must have heard about the Razia Sultana. She became the Sultan of Delhi in 1236, challenging traditional gender norms. And then if we talk about the colonial and post-independence period, you must have heard about Jhansi Ki Rani, Sarojini Naidu, and Mother Teresa. And how can we forget about the very honorable first female Prime Minister of India, which is none other than Srimati Indira Gandhi, and she played a very crucial role, you know, in shaping India's political landscape and was a key figure in world's politics. And even if we see around the world, there are women of other contemporary democracies like Angelina Merkel, Kamala Harris, Sanaa Marin. These women represent different time periods and have contributed to challenging societal norms, promoting education and breaking barriers in various fields. Their stories reflect the diverse and evolving roles of women in Indian history and throughout the world. Now the next question here arises is that why women are not there in leadership position at maximum or at average level in democratic setup? The underrepresentation of women in leadership positions in democratic setup is a complex issue from the very starting, with multiple contributing factors. So here are some key factors. First one is gender stereotypes and biases, cultural and institutional barriers, unequal access to education, gender-based discrimination, and lack of mentorship and network opportunities. Did you all just heard about the Nobel Prize winner, Claudia Gordon? As in 2023, Nobel Prize in Economics was awarded to Claudia Gordon, a Harvard University professor, for her research on the gender gap in the labor market. And what is the role of this report in, if we see it in the democratic aspect? So this report holds a very significant democratic influence by shedding light on systemic inequalities. If we see, you know, the findings contributed to informed policy making, supporting democratic societies in addressing barriers that actually limit women's economic participation and promoting more inclusive and equitable opportunity for all citizens. In democracy, such researches plays a crucial role, you know, in shaping evidences-based policies aimed at reducing gender disparities and fostering a more just and representative society. The underrepresentation of women in top political roles in India is influenced by historical, cultural, and systemic factors. Now the next question arises that how does the formation of male ego during childhood influenced by factors such as family dynamics, societal expectations, cultural norms contribute to or hinder progress towards women or gender equality, particularly in relation to women's rights and opportunities? So the development of the male dominance begins, as we all know, from the very childhood, often shaped by societal norms and expectations regarding gender roles. From an early age, boys may be somewhere subtly taught that they should be assertive, dominant, and in control. This upbringing can foster a sense of entitlement and superiority that may persist into adulthood. When considering women's equality, it's crucial to recognize how these ingrained beliefs can actually impact perceptions and behavior. Do you all know that what is the current allocation of seats for women in the Constituent Assembly of India, and how does this representation contribute to ensuring gender diversity and equal participation in the political decision-making progress or processes? As we see, the time when the Constituent Assembly of India was formed, which was tasked with drafting the Constitution of India, had a relatively small representation of women. Do you know that out of 389 members who signed the final document, only 15, yes, only 15 were women. These women played a significant role, no doubt, in shaping the constitutional framework of the newly independent India. The 73rd and 74th Amendment emphasizes the importance of securing seats for women in panchayats, that is rural and urban local bodies. It mandates that not less than one-third of the total seats be reserved for women at all levels of panchayati raj institutions. For example, 49% of elected local representatives are women, and Odisha have increased 50% seats for women, which is incredible number. And if we look out the realistic example of women serving at political leadership roles in India since 75 years, we have got just one prime minister as female, which is Srimati Indira Gandhi, and just two female president. This somewhere represent the fact that even if we have gone ahead in technological advancements, we still lack to avoid exploitative political structure of our society. Currently, there is a skewed distribution of seats in Lok Sabha, that is only 78 female representatives out of 542 members, and in Rajya Sabha, we have got only 24 female members out of 224 members. These gender-specific provisions in both amendments were crucial in promoting the political empowerment of women at the local level. By ensuring reserved seats and leadership roles, these amendments aimed to address historical gender imbalances and create opportunities for women to actively contribute to the decision-making processes in local governance structures. Do you ever thought that why is there a huge participation of women in panchayats and at state level and not taking this step at the central level? Recently, the Lok Sabha and Rajya Sabha both passed Women's Reservation Bill 2023. I hope that you must have heard about it. 128th Constitutional Amendment Bill. Bill reserves one-third of the seats in Lok Sabha, state legislative assemblies and the Delhi Assembly. This will also apply to the seats reserved for SCs and STs in Lok Sabha and state legislature. Now we must understand that what is the background and need for this bill. The discussion upon the reservation of Women Reservation Bill is prevalent since the tenure of former Prime Minister Sri Atal Bihari Vajpayee ji in 1996. As then government lacked a majority, the bill could have not been approved. There are 82 women members of parliament in Lok Sabha and 31 women in Rajya Sabha. While the number has increased significantly, no doubt, since the first Lok Sabha, which is 5% only, but is still far lower than in many countries. The reservation will be provided for a period of 15 years. However, it shall continue till such date as determined by law made by Parliament. According to recent UN Women data, Bangladesh, which has 21%, and Pakistan 20% contribution of women, as well are ahead of India in case of female representation. The reservation will be effective after the census conducted after the commencement of this bill has been published. Based on the census, delimitation will be undertaken to reserve seats for women, which is a major delimitation, I think. The current bill does not provide women's reservation in the Rajya Sabha and State Legislative Council. The Rajya Sabha currently has lower representation of women than the Lok Sabha. Representation is an ideal that must be reflected in both the lower and upper houses, if we can say. So, in examining the stark reality of women in top political roles in India, the statistics reveal a skewed distribution. The recent passage of the Women Reservation Bill 2023 or Nari Shakti Vandan Adhiniyam signifies a pivotal movement, no doubt. Reserving 1/3 of seat in Lok Sabha, state legislative assemblies and the Delhi Assembly, this bill seeks to reshape the narrative and pave the way for greater gender representation. So as we conclude this rewriting episode of Women in Indian Democracy, the journey unfolds before us, the strides made, the challenges faced, and the undeterred spirit of women persist in shaping a more inclusive political landscape. Join us for future episodes as we continue to explore the dynamic roles of women in the ever-evolving democratic narrative of India. Thank you for tuning in, and until next time, let the spirit of democracy and gender equality guide us forward. And yes, please stay tuned for the next episode on GDP of India, in which we are going to discuss about the history of GDP and its aspect, its challenges and way forward. And yes, don't forget to dive into the adventure with PJ's Explore Show on Instagram, YouTube and Twitter. Like the content that fuels your curiosity. Share the excitement with your fellow explorers. Subscribe for a front row seat to thrilling discoveries. Give us your feedback and let your voice shape our new and next exploration. Let's build a community of passionate explorers together. Don't miss out. Hit that like, share and subscribe button and leave your thoughts below. Bye bye.